Hallelujah. Well, it's good to be here with you people tonight. We drove in all the way from Grace Boulevard and didn't hardly run into any traffic at all until we got out on Island Ford Road and it thickened up. We met two vehicles as we was turning in the parking lot. But I'm kind of glad it's that way. I don't like much traffic. They've been coming by the house and giving me some physical exercises to try to do to help me. And every one of them that comes over there said, we almost couldn't find you. Said, we was looking for, said our GPS showed a house out in the field, but said we couldn't find it. So we drove up over this hill and we saw it sitting down here. And they're looking for 1413 Island Ford Road. And on Google Maps, it says that that is Grace Boulevard. And you couldn't tell them anything different. They'd argue with you all day long. That is Island, that's Grace Boulevard up there. But let them believe what they want to believe. I'm going to believe what I know.
Amen.
Amen. But it's good to be here tonight. Three or four of you said, I wish you'd just rear back, bless God, and just preach against everything under the sun. I might just do that.
Amen.
I might preach a wiggly message. Anything that wiggles, shoot at it. Rabbit message, anything that jumps up, shoot at it. But I'll try to preach a little something if I can. You bear with me and pray for me. I appreciate that so much. I'm going to turn your Bibles tonight to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 1. I'm going to turn this on before Brother Robert says something to me. He's good about that, you know. 2 Samuel. And chapter number 1, and I want to begin reading tonight in verse number 19. We'll read through the remaining part of the chapter down through verse number 27. The Bible said, the beauty of Israel is slain upon thy high places. How are the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath, publish it not in the streets of Ascalon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offerings. For there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, the shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet, with other delights, who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high places. I'm distressed for thee, my brother, Jonathan. Very, very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. And by the way, they were not queers.
Right.
How are the mighty fallen and the weapons of war perished? Now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of that word. Let's look at him in just a moment of prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the night you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to preach. I pray now that you will skillfully guide us through thy word tonight. May the Spirit of God give us direction and unctionize us as we preach. And I pray, Lord, that thy Spirit and the Word of God would open each and every heart that we might receive new truths about Christ, things we may have overlooked or never seen before, simple truths, I pray. I ask you to save sinners, revive and strengthen your people. May Jesus get all the honor and the glory. Thank you, Lord, for the preacher letting me preach tonight. Bless your people now in a wonderful way in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to try to preach tonight on that thought that we saw in here, and I'll mention how many times here just a little later on. But preaching just for a little while on the thought, how are the mighty fallen?
Oh, man. Yes, sir.
How are the mighty fallen? Practically since the creation of man and humanity began to multiply, there's been those who bore the title of mighty men.
Yes, sir.
even during the corrupt times of Noah, who was a preacher of righteousness, there were men to whom was ascribed as those powerful words. They were called mighty men, men of renown.
Yes, sir.
And so there's been mighty men throughout the Word of God. I won't say I'm thankful that there's mighty men, even in our generation. There's been mighty men that have been leaders of countries, mighty men who've been different positions in their government. But there's also been some mighty men that stood in pulpits across the length and the breadth of our land and preached the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
And they're none less mighty than those that bear the titles of some politician or political figure. And they are truly mighty men. They don't have to be rough like I am. They don't have to have a lot of finesse like I do to be mighty men. But they can be mighty. They are mighty nonetheless.
Amen.
So here in our text, as David mourns the defeat of Israel on the mountains of Gilboa, his holy character shines forth,
yes, sir,
as a candle in the dark. Saul, the king of Israel, who persecuted and sought David that he might take his life, and Jonathan, his son, who loved David and protected him that he might preserve his life, are said to be swifter than eagles and stronger than lions. David could easily have ridiculed and criticized Saul, but he chose to speak kindly of that man. You know, I'm going to say tonight that I think we'd be very wise, very wise, that if we would follow that example and never say something contrary to a man after he's in the grave. You realize dead men cannot defend themselves. And it's easy to get carried away and talk about somebody that's passed away or dead in a rough way, and them not be able to defend themselves. But if you got something to say to somebody, you ought to say it to them while they're living.
Amen.
So they'll have an opportunity at least to defend themselves in that matter. And in like manner, you don't talk about somebody behind their back.
Right.
And especially our pastor, and don't let me hear you if you do.
Amen.
Amen. You know, I said it, I believe it would be wise for us to follow this example. We should never speak evil of men that we have known after their death. Dead men have no defense.
Right.
David here calls both Saul and Jonathan mighty.
Yes, sir, he does.
They're mighty men, and he calls them that. I say, how are the mighty fallen? It sounds as though David is asking a question. How are the mighty fallen?
Yeah.
And it appears that he's asking a question. But if you notice the punctuation in this sentence, or in these verses, you're going to find that there's no question mark anywhere that can be found.
Amen.
But in all three instances that this is mentioned, how are the mighty fallen? It's not a question mark at the end of the sentence, but it's an exclamation mark.
That's right.
And so it's referring to an exclamation here. This denotes a sudden cry or a remark, especially expressing surprise, anger, or pain.
Yes.
And I don't have any problem believing that David could have experienced each of those as he got word that Saul and Jonathan had been killed upon,
yes,
Mount Gilboa. You know, Saul tried his very best to kill David. He sought every opportunity to take his life. And yet I believe David's heart was broken when he got word that this man had perished. He knew that he was a mighty man of valor.
Yes, sir.
He knew that he was a warrior. He was a general of an army. David knew that he was a mighty man. And yet he asked the question, how are the mighty fallen?
Right.
What happened to Saul? How are the mighty fallen? What happened to Jonathan? There we've seen mighty men fall in our pulpits across America today.
Yes, sir.
Can I say, how are they fallen? What happened? It ought to break our hearts. I believe that it did David when he heard of this.
Yes, sir.
I believe it broke his heart and grieved him deeply. And to know that Saul was dead, and then even Jonathan, whom he loved greatly, their love surpassed the love of women. Now, I won't say again, that's not saying anything contrary to David and Jonathan. It's not saying anything. No, it does not mean that they were in any wise sodomites.
Right.
But they had a great love one for another.
Right.
And by the way, brethren, we ought to love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another.
Yes.
And to speak wickedly about the love that we have for one another is to speak wickedly about the love of Christ.
Yes,
and how much Christ loved. Christ loved you and I so much that He died for us.
Yes,
I don't look at that hardly in a way that either one would be considered a sodomite
right.
in that manner. Amen.
Amen.
Now, in verse 19, he says, by the way, this is mentioned three times in this text. Verse 19, it simply says, how are the mighty fallen? Then in verse number 25 again, how are the mighty fallen in the midst of battle? And then in verse 25, O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high places. This happened when Jonathan was at his very best.
Yes, sir.
His power had been revealed and his strength was known. And Jonathan died living the very best that a man could live upon earth when he was in his high places.
Right.
That refers to I believe, to the spirituality of Jonathan.
Amen.
He was a great man. And yes, and yet he fell in that battle. How are the mighty fallen? May I say to you, we never get too big to fall.
Right. Yes,
brother, we better take heed when we say that we're not going to fall. We better take heed lest we do fall.
Amen.
I'll tell you, hey, we ought never to brag about how great we are.
Right.
And what all we've accomplished and what we can do, all we're soon to sound off like Peter. Lord, all the rest of them may turn against you, but I will never turn against you, Lord. But he did, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Now, I'll tell you, we better be careful because it can happen to any of us.
Right.
We're not beyond falling.
Right.
We better take heed and stand fast in the Word of God. Stay in the house of God. Stay in communication with God.
Yeah.
Stay in communication with the church. Live for the Lord in a great and a mighty way, in a spiritual way,
right.
Lest we fall also. How are the mighty fallen? How are they fallen? Now I'm going to say again that does not mean, that's not asking a question, but it's making a declaration. And yet you can't answer it without answering it as a question. That's difficult. We need Brother Hughes up here for this. Amen. But look at verse number 19. The beauty of Israel is slain upon the high places. How are the mighty fallen? And verse number 20. Tell it not in Gath. Publish it not in the streets of Ascalon. Lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice. Lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. See, we oughtn't to talk about and criticize those that fall in our ranks.
Right, sir.
I tell you, what we're doing, we're opening up a door for the uncircumcised, those out here that are
right.
Sinners and lost. And our enemies, we're just opening up a door for them to criticize us and talk about us.
You're right, preacher.
We ought to never hang out our dirty laundry for somebody else to look at.
Amen.
Amen, Nate. I don't want him to look at my holy drawers, no how. Amen. It's just a figure of speech, folks. Amen. How are the mighty fallen? He said in verse 27, and the weapons of war perished. How did you manage to be overcome? How did you manage to be deprived of the very weapons that God provided you, that you might use them in conquering your enemies. God has provided us with weapons that we're to use.
Yes, sir.
And we ought to never give way to the enemy that they might overcome and subdue us and remove the very weapons that we have. Hey, don't ever give up on the Word of God.
Amen.
I'm telling you, you're looking at a man that believes that is the very Word of God. It, that book doesn't contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. Somebody said, well, how about in the original manuscripts? I said, I believe this book is the Word of God. Perfectly preserved for English-speaking people today. That's it.
Amen.
That's exactly right.
Yes, sir.
And we ought never to let the enemy deprive us of our prayer time.
Right.
God help us. We need to build an old-fashioned altar and get back to praying.
Yes,
our church needs prayer.
Yes, sir.
I say this lovingly. Our church needs to start praying in a definite way.
Yes, sir.
For the meeting next week.
Sure. Amen. Sure.
Ask God to move upon the souls of men and women, move upon the young people of this church and the old alike. I don't know about you, but I need something from God.
Sure. Amen.
I'm, believe it or not, I'm starting to get just a little hungry.
Amen.
I want something besides a T-bone steak in reality.
Right.
I'll take the T-bone in a spiritual way.
Amen.
Amen. Don't we need to hear from heaven?
Yes.
Oh, we need God to open up the portals of heaven.
Yes.
Mercy drops round us are falling, but I'm telling you, it's showers of blessings
Amen.
That we need.
Yes, oh,
dear God, look upon our withered and dry soul tonight and let the dew of heaven saturate us and let the rain of God permeate the ground.
Amen.
The ground of our hearts, that is. Amen. How are the mighty fallen? Time, neither the strength in my body nor my mental aptitude nor time tonight will allow me, I don't think, to speak at length concerning these men that I've chosen. I'm tired. I'm getting tireder every day. But hallelujah, I'm not too tired.
Amen.
Amen. But I can't speak at length. But I want to say what I can say about these mighty men. There's been several men in the Bible that have been called mighty. I'll get back to Jonathan and Saul in a moment. But when I thought of these mighty men, how are the mighty fallen? For what reason? What happened in their life that brought them to such a tragic end? I thought of Uriah the Hittite. And in chapter 23 of 2 Samuel and verse number 39, it talks about Uriah the Hittite being number 37. That's where he was out on the list. There were 37 mighty men of David.
Right.
And may I say to you, if you don't get nothing else, I say get a hold of this. They were misfits. They were those that nobody else wanted.
Right.
And they went down to David in that cave. David gave them a sermon and a song.
Amen.
And they became mighty men of valor.
Amen.
Amen. But Uriah the Hittite was one of those 37 mighty men that's mentioned in Israel. He was a dedicated man, a devoted man. That's right. But David set his eyes on Uriah's wife and took her and committed adultery with her and called Uriah in from the field and told him to go down to his house and see his wife. But here's what Uriah said, if I can find this verse real quick in 2 Samuel 11:9, I believe it is. 2 Samuel 11:9. But Uriah slept. Uriah wouldn't go down. David said, go down to see your wife. And he refused to go down, but the Bible said in verse number 9, but Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his Lord and went not down to his house.
Right.
May I say to you tonight that he was dedicated to those that he served with?
Yes, he was. Amen.
Oh, yes, sir. He loved the people of God and was dedicated to them. He would fight for them. I wonder today if we would really fight for one another.
Amen.
Spiritually speaking.
Yes, sir.
Would we take a stand for one another or would we cave in? I'm not going to let anybody talk about you, criticize you. It makes no difference to me who they are.
Right.
I've told preachers before to get out of my face.
Amen.
I've heard them start to criticize the church the way it was, even when it was that way, and I wouldn't let them talk about it.
Right. Amen.
And I told the goodness I ain't going to let them talk about you. Why would I want to let somebody criticize me? That's paid me my salary.
Yeah.
And God has used to give everything to that I have.
Amen.
That's come through this little church. Why in heaven's name would I want to go out here and criticize you and talk about you or let somebody else do it?
Right.
Amen. It won't happen around Brother Hall. I promise you on that, friend.
Amen.
But Uriah was dedicated. He slept with those that he served with rather than going down to his house where his wife was at. He could have.
Right. Yeah.
The king told him to. He had the authority to go. But the king said no. Or he said no. He'll sleep with those servants at the door of the house.
Amen.
He was devoted also to David and Joab and even to Israel. Look at verse 11 of that chapter. And Uriah said unto David, when David tried to get him to go to his house, he said, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in the tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I go into mine house and eat and to drink, to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as my soul liveth, I will not do this thing.
Amen.
Boy, he was devoted, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Not only to the servants, but he was devoted to the service that he was in.
Amen.
Oh, man. I wonder how devoted we are.
Right.
Now, I don't think my wife put her name on that list out there because we were uncertain about what we were going to be doing next week. But I'm sure I think we're going to be here now because I'm taking some treatments and things over to the house from the VA. And I think we're probably going to be here. I promise you if we're here, we'll do our part.
Sure.
Amen.
Amen.
And I'm saying, why don't everybody else do their part?
Amen.
Man, let's all get involved in this thing.
Yes, sir.
And see, have a wonderful outcome. You have to forgive me. I'm telling you, I've got some in the throat that's strangling me to death. But we ought to be devoted to the ministry that God has given us. But how are the mighty fallen? Can I tell you how this mighty man fell? Through deception. He was deceived by those that he loved. That tears my heart out to know that here is a man that would gladly lay down his life for his brethren. But yet he was deceived by the very one that he loved. Deceived by David and deceived by Joab as well. And when he refused to go into his wife, David wrote a note and gave it to him. And he carried his own sentence of death back to Joab. Joab, I'm sure, opened that note, and it must have startled him to read the words, set Uriah in the forefront of the battle and withdraw thyself from him. Now, here's a man that was devoted to David.
Right.
Would have gladly laid down his life voluntarily for David, and yet David had him killed. How are the mighty fallen? Sometimes they fall because they're deceived by their own brethren.
Right.
God help us. He's
right.
Yes,
sir.
Then I thought about another fella. And I hope I got this name pronounced correctly. By the way, this is one of the things that the VA is working on. Is my throat. What about a man by the name of Azahel? He was one of the 30 mighty men of Israel. He was a brother of Joab. And it's just over in the next chapter here in the book of 2 Samuel chapter number 2. Chapter number 2 and I think verse number 12, it deals with Abner and Joab and how they met by a pool, and their young men went to fight each other, and some of them were killed. And there was a young man there who was a brother to Joab by the name of Azahel. And the Bible said that he was light on his foot as a wild rose, what it says in chapter 2 and verse 18. And there were the sons of Zerah there, Joab and Abishai and Azahel. And Azahel was as a light of foot, as a wild roe. This boy could move. I mean, he had some move. And yet in the battle, he's pursuing this man by the name of Abner, who is a mighty man of battle himself and a man of war. And yet here is Azahel pursuing him. Abner looks back and says, "Art thou that Azahel?" He said, "I am." He said, "Then turn back from following after me. Turn to the right hand or the left hand. Take hold of one of the young men and take their armor."
Right.
Somebody said, "Well, Abner was scared to death." No, Abner wasn't afraid of that boy.
No.
But he kept pursuing him. Hard-headed.
Yep.
Young men.
Yeah.
Hard-headed. Twice, Abner said, "Turn back." And twice he refused to do it.
Right.
Would not listen. He would not listen. And as the battle raged, Abner took the back end of his spear and came backwards with it and thrust it through that boy. And it came out on the other side of him and killed him. Abner didn't want to kill him because it was Joab's brother. He asked the young man, "How can I face your older brother?" He knew. Abner knew that he could kill that boy.
Right.
He could have stopped and fought that boy and killed that boy. But he had enough sense to know that just killing him would have caused more trouble between the two tribes.
Right.
And yet, he pursued after him. He was a very zealous young man, pursuing the general of Israel. Zeal is good, but zeal without knowledge is dangerous. I've seen a lot of men that are zealous in the pulpit, but they have no knowledge of the Bible, and they'll get up and contradict themselves and destroy Bible doctrines, and that's right.
That's right.
And I'm telling you, they've got a lot of zeal. They would charge hell with a water pistol.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
Right.
I've made that statement before. I'm ready to charge hell with a water pistol. You ain't going to make it very far, friend. A little hotter there than what you might think. Zeal. He was zealous. But zeal without understanding, zeal without knowledge is a dangerous thing.
Yes, it is.
I've seen it destroy a lot of young preachers, brothers.
Amen.
Brother Shepherd.
You're right.
They're ready to go. I've seen them in Bible college. Well, we're going to go ahead and drop out of Bible college. For what reason? Man, we just can't wait to get out there.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I bet they hadn't been out there 2 months till they wished they was back.
Yeah.
May I say, wait on the Lord.
Amen.
And He shall renew thy strength. Again, I say, wait on the Lord.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Don't be so zealous that we get ahead of God.
Amen.
And make mistakes. This young man made a mistake. Hey, his zeal failed to recognize the wisdom and the power of the enemy.
Right.
He failed to recognize the power of Abner in pursuing after him. And the wisdom of Abner. Abner was an old red-headed. Man, he had some wisdom about him.
Yes, sir.
I've heard young men want to line out old men. And I'm used to make me sick. Still does. I went to a preacher's fellowship one time. A fellow got up preaching. He said, "Now I believe this King James 1611 Bible is the Word of God." He said, "I'm talking about this old black back Bible. I'm not talking about them red ones." I look, I'm the only fellow in there with a red Bible. So I just assumed he must be talking about me. I don't have no idea what the color of a Bible has got to do with what the Bible says on the inside.
Amen.
If it's a King James 1611 Bible, I wouldn't care if it's yellow on the outside. If I didn't have anything else, that's what I'd carry. I mean, I'm not crazy about carrying a yellow Bible or a pink Bible. I mean, you ladies can carry them if you want to. I don't mind red or black. They got a lot of zealous, a lot of zeal. They can tear up a whole lot of things,
yes, sir,
with their zeal. How are the mighty fallen? His zeal. He is rejected. He was by a compassionate warning. He was asked to turn back.
Yeah.
And yet he failed to turn back. Then I want to speak for just a few minutes about Jonathan. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of battle? Verse 25, "Oh, Jonathan, thou wast slain in thy high places." Can I ask you tonight, how can we say anything negative about Jonathan? He loved David and loved his father both. And he knew that his father was pursuing David and trying to kill him, and yet he went into battle with his own father.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he did, and I'll get back to him, in the perfect will of God.
Yes, sir.
How can we say anything negative about this man? He was devoted to his father and his family. His death was in the line of duty.
Right.
He stayed with Israel to fight because he felt it was his duty, when he probably knew quite well that they weren't going to win that battle.
Right.
And yet he stayed there and fought.
Right.
Reminds me of some of the things I've read about in battles gone by in the military. Men that knew. Take, for instance, a minute to Alamo.
Yeah, buddy.
They knew that death was a certain thing, but yet they were so devoted,
yep,
to their duty and their responsibility.
Amen.
They refused to pull back.
Right, sir.
Oh, William Barrett Travis wasn't about. I've still got the letter somewhere, a copy of that letter that William Barrett Travis wrote to Sam Houston. And he said, God, and one thing he said, the Lord's on our side.
Amen.
Said, we just had a few head of cattle when we come in here. Now we've got 23 beeves, he said.
Yeah.
They asked him to surrender, and he answered them with a volley shot from a cannon.
Amen.
Oh, yes, the Alamo was taken. But can I say to you, hey, it's still being talked about today.
Right. Amen.
And so is the men that died there.
Right.
David Crockett died there.
Yes,
William Barry Travis died there. Jim Bowie died there. And they're still being talked about there. You know why? Because they were mighty men of valor. Hell or the mighty fallen, they're fallen because of their duty and responsibility to the people that they loved.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
That's right. He filled his place of responsibility. He felt that it was required of him. I'm trying to figure this one out. To turn from engaging the enemy and from following Saul, he would have had appeared to be a traitor and a coward. The Bible said in the book of Psalms, Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle.
Yes, sir.
That is, they had the armor and they had the artillery.
Yep.
They had what it took to win the battle and they turned back.
Yes, sir.
God help us not to turn back.
Yes,
I'm wondering how many of us in here tonight are turning back.
Yes, sir.
I asked my wife, I said, you reckon we'll ever shout again over there? Well, I don't believe in shouting. You don't believe in the Bible, sir. That's right. I can care less who you are. I love you, but I'm telling you, there is such a thing as old-time worship. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a whisper. No. With a shout. You realize that in 6 verses in the book of Psalms 150, the word praise is mentioned 13 times?
Amen.
Well, we just praise God in our own little way. Why don't you praise God the Bible way?
Amen.
Amen.
We need to lift up our voice like a drum.
Yep.
My voice is about shot, and I would to God I had a better, more volume than I have. Then I'd rear back and sing. Somebody said, well, you don't carry a good tune. I could care less if I carried a tune in a bucket. Sang the praises of God.
Amen.
Praise Him, praise Him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer.
Yes.
Praise Him ever in joyful song.
Amen.
That's right. How can we not praise Him? How can we not praise Him that we had owed us nothing and we owed Him everything and He took the everything that we owed and so that we could have nothing? In sin.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
How can we not praise Him?
Yes, sir.
He loved us with such a great love. I asked my wife last night. She was standing by the stove cooking. I walked over where she was cooking. I said, honey, I want to ask you a question. I said, how can a man sweat great drops of blood? She said, I don't believe He can. I don't believe He can either. But Jesus sure did.
Yes, He did.
How can we not love the one that went into Gethsemane and His holy soul there was made an offering for you
yes,
and
sir,
I?
That's right.
And our sins was laid upon Him that knew no sin.
Yep.
Our sins was laid upon Him that was holy and righteous altogether.
Yes.
That loved us. He knew no sin. He couldn't sin. And yet He was made. His soul was made to be sin for us. God had to make Him to be sin. He wasn't the essence of sin. He was sin. He was made to be sin for us. Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him.
Amen.
How can we not praise Him?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Look yonder on Calvary. at the darling Son of God as He hangs between heaven and earth.
Yes.
Laid out for you and I. His body being made a sacrifice. Suffering and anguish and pain. He just came out of the garden and His sweat is great drops of blood. His body no doubt is weak and tired, and yet He goes to Pilate's hall and is beaten.
Yes, sir.
By a cat of nine tails. Beaten beyond recognition. He spit upon, rejected of all men. Carried His own cross all the way to Calvary. Somebody said, well, they compelled Simon to carry that cross. They compelled Simon to carry. Now, I'm going to tell you what John said. John said, I saw Him bearing His own cross.
Right. Amen.
How can we not love Him and serve Him in a devoted way?
Yes, sir.
Man.
How are the mighty fallen? He felt that it was required of Him. He followed, get a hold of this. He followed the right man, but He followed the wrong man. He had to follow Saul. Jonathan did. But Saul was the wrong man. You realize at this time, David has already been anointed king. And yet he never interferes with God, what God's doing. He's got enough sense to know that God can dethrone. He can dethrone Saul anytime He wants to.
That's right.
And he just stood back and waited and watched God work. And God worked. Amen. And he followed the right man, but he was the wrong man. Saul was. Then I want to talk for just a couple of minutes about Saul, and I'll be done here in just a few minutes if you'll bear with me. In 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 1, I believe Brother Steve has already covered this. Sunday school, I'll not say much about it. But there, Saul was anointed king of Israel. In chapter 10 and verse 24, Saul was received by the people, and they shouted because of him. But how are the mighty fallen? I could go back and show you several things. But in chapter 13 of Samuel in verses 8 through 10, Saul intruded into the priest's office.
Right.
He got in a big hurry and couldn't wait. Preacher's been preaching on patience. He got in a hurry and could not wait for Samuel to get there. Samuel said, you wait till I get there and we'll make an offering. The people began to scatter, and he took it upon himself to enter into the priest's office and to offer a sacrifice. Now, I'm telling you, it is a grievous sin against God to try to enter into the office that you are not called to be in. One of the biggest sins I've seen in Baptist churches in my 30-plus years of preaching the Word of God is that men that have never been called will try to intrude into the office of the pastor, and they'll do that, and they'll eventually destroy the church in doing so.
That's right.
Yes, sir. That's exactly right. A man has never been called to a dangerous thing.
Yes, sir.
He was also in chapter number 15 and verse 23. He was rejected by God, by the Lord, because he disobeyed God and failed to destroy the Amalekites.
Man.
Can I read that for you? I want to read that. I believe it's 1 Samuel. Somebody help me with that. 1 Samuel 15. Yeah. Look at verse 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord. thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being what? From being king of Israel.
Right.
He lost his standing with the Lord. Here he was, had been anointed as a king of Israel. And yet because of his sin and his disobedience, God told him, said, you go destroy the Amalekites.
Yep.
He never destroyed all of them. He disobeyed. He tried to tell Samuel that he did obey, but he didn't. In his disobedience, the mighty was brought down. Can you imagine the shame and the disgrace? He even finally wound up going to a witch to try to get some information from a witch. Now I know there's a lot of talk about, there's a lot of different opinions about Saul. Saul was a strange, Saul and Samson are two of the strangest figures in all the Bible for me. Now, I personally don't think Saul was saved. If he was, he sure went a long way backwards. I believe saved people, God get a hold of them some way, shape, form, or fashion, and we read nothing in there at all about God ever turning his heart or dealing with him. Yeah. How are the mighty fallen? He was stripped of his power. 2 Samuel 1:21, where we just read from. The mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offerings, for there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away. The shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. He lost his standing and was rejected from being king. He was stripped of his power. Oh, how are the mighty fallen? He had been anointed, but now his shield has been cast away. And he's as one that has never been anointed with oil.
Yes.
I'm telling you, people today know very little, if anything at all, about old time Holy Ghost anointing of the Spirit of God. I don't believe in two blessings. I'm not a Nazarite.
Amen.
Or a Nazarene. But I'm telling you what, I do believe in the power of God resting upon a man and filling the Holy Spirit of God, filling a man with great power that we might do great exploits for Him. The problem is we're not willing to pay the price to get it done.
You're right.
It takes time alone with God and hours in prayer for any man or woman to possess the power of the Spirit of God.
Yes.
And by the way, if we're saved, we all have that anointing from the Holy One. We have an unction from the Holy One. We all have the Spirit of God. But I want to ask you a question tonight. How much of you has He got?
Right, that's good.
We've got all of Him.
Yep.
Being filled with the Spirit of God is not a matter of us getting more of Him. You can't get more of somebody.
Right.
But He can get more of us.
Right.
How much of your heart does He have tonight?
Right.
Does He have it all? A little bit of it? Does He have it when you want Him to have it?
Right.
I'm going to say God's been dealing with me about some things. Now, I got put in my place this morning and needed it. Brother Steve and I was always kidding around. All of us fellas over here are. And I walked by my car. He was a little late. I said, how you doing, Drag Bottom? He said, I don't want to hear nothing from you. He said, you ain't been here in 2 months to do your broadcast. What did I say? Have they gone? Truth to truth, even if it's about me. Amen. But the power of God, He vilely, that's a strange word, vilely cast away the mighty, for there is the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away. In other words, David took his shield. When he died, I read nothing about the armor bearer protecting him with his shield. See, those armor bearers, they had a shield that they put between the man they were protecting and the enemy. It's like Goliath had an armor bearer. Doesn't say anything about that armor bearer being back there where he's at. He had no shield at all. He was on the run. You know why I had to throw it away? He was running away from the battle. Brother Doug, what is my famous saying?
If you run, you're done.
If you run, you are done.
Yep, that's right. Yep.
Can't run from the enemy. Somebody said he's bigger than I am. Well, it don't hurt that bad. Fellow showed me a thing on his telephone the other day. He said, I want to show you this. And showed that young man from the UPS or FedEx or whatever it was, running into those men that were burning the American flag. Mm. This just happened. That boy run in there and jerked that flag. And they tried to, son, he pushed him and shoved him. And I think he busted one or two of them. And walked out there with that flag, started walking and walked away. They got another flag and were going to set it on fire. He went back and grabbed that flag. They jerked and rattled and rolled and he finally come up and went there with a flag.
Amen.
And the guy that showed me that said, what would you do if you was driving downtown on the courthouse, to the courthouse, there were some men out there getting ready to burn a flag. I said, well, it wouldn't be the first time I ever got my hind end kicked. But I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to stand by and just watch somebody burn the American flag, friend. I'm old and sick and feeble, but I'll tell you what, I bless God, I can still. There were two other guys standing there. He asked them, said, what would you do if you drove by and Gary was out there? He told me, Gary, what would you do if you drove by and Gary was out there? He was trying to take Americans. They were trying to burn it. He was trying to take a flag away from them. This one guy spoke up and said, well, I'll tell you what I'd do. He said, I'd jump in and help. The preacher, he said, I believe me, and what's his name over here? We can handle our share of them. That's the kind of a man I'm talking about here.
Right.
He wouldn't let somebody burn the flag. And I want to, that vilely cast away means to be rejected, to abhor, to detest, to loathe. He threw his armor aside. I'm just going to mention this guy and I'm done. I'm done in more ways than one. There was a man by the name of Gideon.
Oh, yeah.
That in chapter. Oh, and by the way, how is the mighty fallen there? Saul fell. He was a mighty man, yet he fell. Then there was a man by the name of Gideon in Judges chapter 6 and verse 12. He's called a mighty man of valor.
Yes.
And he did. He defeated the Midianites who invaded Israel. He defeated them. And then Israel offered to pay him money to be their deliverer. We're on in chapter number 8. And so in so many ways, he eased around and said, "Well, I'll do. Tell you what," he said, "I'll be your leader if you'll start giving me. You'll give me so much gold and silver." They give him gold and silver and put it in a blanket. He packed, told how much he packed up. He had a problem. He loved that money. And Gideon, after he had wrought such, and by the way, his deliverance came with only 300 people.
Right.
300 people. And God sent a deliverance at his hand. And by and by, because he took that money, and he took it and he made an ephod. And the Bible said, set that ephod up at his house. He made that ephod out of all that gold that they sent him. And the Bible said, all Israel went a-whoring after that ephod.
That's right.
And it became a stumbling block to Gideon.
Yep.
How are the mighty fallen? He fell because of his greed and his lust for money, and he fell.
Right.
Oh, how are the mighty fallen? Now, I'd venture to say there's not a one of us in here tonight. Somewhere, somehow, there's something that could easily either cause your fall or has already brought it about.
Yes, sir.
I've had to search my soul. I went home, went upstairs today and searched my soul. There's some things I'm going to have to deal with in my own life. Somebody said, "What are they? You don't need to know. I don't. I wouldn't invade your privacy.
Right.
You have to deal with God yourself."
Right.
But I've got enough sense to know that one of us here, perfect.
Right.
Not a one.
Right.
How are the mighty fallen? Preacher, I think it's some men tonight that we both know. And I ask myself the same question. How are the mighty fallen?
Yes, sir.
Let's stand together. Preacher, if you'd come, please. Before I sit down, I'm going to ask you if there's something you need to deal with God. Somebody said, "Now, if I go up there to pray, they're going to know I got a problem in my life. Hey, I got news for you. I know it anyhow."
That's right.
We can't hide it. It generally sticks out like a sore thumb.
Yes, sir.
Maybe others need to come tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the evening, the time to speak a few words of, I hope I help somebody.
Yes.
I pray you're blessed now in these next few moments. Give the church the grace that they need and we need, and the pastor, give him divine direction and leadership for us. Help him, Lord, as he leads us in the path of righteousness. Help him as he preaches to us. Let him receive from thee and give it to us. And feed us as the sheep of thine pasture. Revive us again, Lord, that we might rejoice in you.
Yes.
Save old sinners, Lord, that are destined for hell. Let you divinely intervene in their life. They're going to go to hell. Save them, I pray. And Father, we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor, you come.